I think we need to address the elephant in the room, that dating today is drastically different.
There's no need to go up to somebody anymore and say, hey, are you free Friday night? Now it's like...
the technology we have access to has just changed everything when it comes to dating.
This nonchalantism is like a religion now. You got to like try to play hard to get. You're not that interested, but you're kind of interested. You read it at 6:30, but then you wait till 9:30 to respond. It's like, dude,
I can just get on an app and swipe until I match with somebody.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually more important who you're with than where you're headed.
Back in the day, if there was 500 people in your town, the most amount of people you knew was 500 people. And in today's world, there's 500 people in your town. You can know 10,000 people.
All right, guys, welcome. We are so excited for episode 5 of our podcast. Pastor Bill is not able to make it today. He had some urgent matters to take care of. But the good news is Cole and I are here to tackle a fun subject today. And the subject is Christian dating.
Yeah, absolutely. Christian dating is absolutely crucial. I mean, you look at the most important decisions in your entire life. Of course, you have saying yes to Jesus as the first and primary most important decision you will ever make. And right below that is who you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually more important who you're with than where you're headed.
Yeah.
Because those two decisions can very quickly intermingle. And if you get it right, it's brilliant. And if you get it wrong, it's terrible.
Absolutely.
And so we want to make sure you guys make that right decision.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was talking to my dad before we started the pod, and we're going to talk about dating today. And it makes sense Cole and I will tackle this because we are
dating experts.
Dating experts, right? We are closer to that chapter of our lives. Our father, he wants to help whenever we talk more about relationships specifically.
Yeah.
But today we're going to tackle dating because I think it's fair to say that dating has changed a lot recently.
Yeah.
And we're very close to, and we even have friends who are still in that dating season. And so what we want to kind of do is, first and foremost, I think we need to address the elephant in the room, that dating today is drastically different than how your parents probably dated and your grandparents. Today is a very different day and age.
Yeah.
I think it's only fair that we address that. Listen, I mean, today, the technology we have access to has just changed everything when it comes to dating. I mean, we have become sneakier as a society. We have things like Snapchat. We have DMs that can disappear on Instagram. We have so many means. I mean, we even have hookup apps. Hookup culture has taken off. There's so many dangerous methods to date now.
Yeah.
So much technology has really made it difficult for Christian dating. And what's really crazy is on some of these hookup apps, we have people who are claiming to be followers of Christ while simultaneously trying to hook up with somebody that night. It is just a completely different landscape.
Yeah. I think technology is a huge part of the different dating landscape today. It's an amazing tool. It's also very, very, I think it's more of a dangerous weapon than it can be a useful tool for the most part, but it can definitely be useful. Access is the main thing that technology grants us today. I almost think it's an unhealthy amount of access. You know, back in the day, if there was, you know, 500 people in your town, the most amount of people you knew was 500 people. And in today's world, there's 500 people in your town. You can know 10,000 people, or you could ask out 10,000 different people, or 20,000, or however many the case is, right? Which I know most people aren't doing, but just to drive home the point that we have so much access today to people all over the world. We have information at our fingertips. And I think this has caused the reduction, significant reduction, of people having face-to-face interactions. And that's why anxiety has increased and skyrocketed so much, especially in the dating landscape, because there's no need to go up to somebody anymore and say, hey, are you free Friday night? Now it's like, oh, you know, who's that? You're going to ask your friend, and then a week's going to go by and you're going to find them on social media. You know, you're going to go through who your friend's following and then look up their name, and then, oh, this is the one, right? And then you go follow them, and then you like an old picture. It's just this whole charade now, which reduces the need to be bold, to be courageous, to approach, to talk to people face to face. And people, it's so hard just to have a normal flowing conversation nowadays because social media has reduced the need for social interaction.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's not a demand.
Yeah.
Right? There's no longer a demand for you to be good interpersonally. I mean, just 40 years ago, you had to be able to approach someone. If you were a male, you had to be able to approach a girl. You had to be able to carry a good conversation. You had to present yourself well. you're not just going to walk around in gym clothes. Everyone just walks around in gym clothes now, mm-hmm. Or sweats or mm-hmm. baggy outfits. You had to present yourself well. You had to carry on with a good conversation. Yeah. And then from that conversation, you hope to get dinner with them. And that needs to also be another great conversation.
Yeah.
You had to have interpersonal skills, confidence. You would actually take time to think about, where do I want to take them? What questions do I want to ask them while I'm on this date?
Yeah.
And now it's completely different. Nowadays, yeah. people don't even go on dates much anymore. No. Nowadays, I don't need to worry about presenting myself, what I'm going to ask the person. I can just get on an app and swipe until I match with somebody.
Yeah.
And it is devastating because how many stories have we heard where it's like, well, they looked normal on Instagram, and then I got to meet them. Yeah. Man, it was very, very different. They couldn't really hold a conversation. Yeah, we see catfishing going wild right now, especially in the Christian dating scene.
Yeah.
So well, technology, now it's like,
there's
technology's
spiritual catfishing, bro. There's spiritual catfishing. Yes. I mean, not just physically. I mean, of course, you're going to have your best photos on your profiles and all that stuff. You're going to want to look your best. And, you know, you want to clip the song on your story perfectly so it's like the best part. And then people know that you're relating to that lyric. Like, there's so many things that we do as humans. It's so funny. but you can even have spiritual catfishing, man. I mean, you can put a verse in your bio and then that happens to be the only verse that you know in the entire Bible. And then everyone's like, oh, man, this person's faith's really strong. For God so loved the world, whatever. And then you're like, oh, hey, you know, what church do you go to? Oh, I'm kind of in between churches right now. Okay, whatever. Are you serving in the church? And you notice that there's not even like an actual spiritual depth there. And so I think that technology access has made dating a lot harder, but also just the lack of social interaction that we see on a day-to-day business. And now mainly you see within our generation specifically and even younger than our generation, it's these weird like mind games going on. And I'll admit I had kind of a little bit to do that whenever me and my wife were dating, but I got past that point pretty quickly. And it was funny because the moment I actually got past that point is the moment I actually started to see traction in our relationship. Mm. And so I remember we used to do all this like random stuff, liking stories back and forth. And eventually, you remember this. Remember, Mason, whenever we were in my room and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it, man. I'm going to call her. And this actually deserves to be shared. I called her. And she answers. I mean, she doesn't answer. And then she sends me a text. And she, mind you, I've already texted her in the past, so she has my number. She goes, "Who's this?" And I'm like, "Bro, there's no way. Who's this? Like, I've gotten your number already. You didn't even save my number." Anyway, so I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to set my pride to the side. I text her. I say, "Hey, this is Cole. I think we're going to get along really well. We should go out," essentially. And she's like, "Oh, sorry, I can't." I'm like, okay, thinking that she's going to like offer a new time to do something. No, just nothing. And I said, oh, okay, no worries, right? Thinking that she would be like, oh, but I'm free then. No, no response. So time goes on, whatever, and time passes. Not that I'm salty, obviously, by any means, but time goes on whole summer. And then eventually I hit her up again through the DM and I was like, look, let's just date and got the show on the road. But all that to say that there's a lot of random mind games that go on. And then the moment I set that aside and I was direct and I was like, look, I want to go on a date with you. I think we have a lot in common. I know you take your faith seriously. You're very beautiful. Boom, boom, boom. Then we go on a date for like a few months and then ended up getting engaged and married a few months after that. So I want to encourage people that this nonchalantism is like a religion now. Mm. You got to like try to play hard to get. You're not that interested, but you're kind of interested. You read it at 6:30, but then you wait till 9:30 to respond. It's like, dude, your conversation is going to take like a week at this pace, you know, just to say like, what are you doing? Like the nonchalantism is crazy nowadays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. People are trying harder to look like they're not trying now.
Yeah.
It blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Nonchalantism has absolutely taken over dating.
It has.
Also pretty sure we just came up with a new word.
No, it's a real religion that's been going on for years, but.
But it's what seems to have taken over is just this idea of, I'm going to try, but I'm definitely not going to look like I care.
Yeah. Like, I'm not interested in you unless you're interested in me, of course, then that's
different. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And, it's plaguing dating and, it has a lot of people just running circles and it's leading to a lot of situationships. I don't really know what we are. I don't really know what this is.
Yep.
So we have a lot of situationships and what's dangerous is we have a lot of people who don't even know what they are and they're rushing into intimacy, but they're pumping the brakes on labels and we've got it like all backwards.
Yes.
Oh, Lord forbid I put a label on this. But you know what? Yeah. we why don't you come over tonight?
Yeah,
so
it's
we're
funny,
running to intimacy.
The world will sleep with each other and think that's normal. And then they'll be like, oh, we can't put a label on it. That's weird. It's like, no, the weird part is that you slept together before y'all even like knew anything about each other. That's the weird thing. Mm-hmm. It's so, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off with that, but I just,
you're
it's
good.
So strange to me because the effort it takes to look like you're not interested is more than the effort it actually takes to be interested.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage, you know, men specifically, like, take charge in this. Mm-hmm. Now, there is a caveat here because we see this within the church pretty often as well. Take charge, take initiative, be direct, say, hey, you know, I'm free this weekend. If you want to go out, I'd love to take you out. But you need to keep that directness. If it doesn't work out, don't just like keep them on a string or whatever the case is, and vice versa. If you're the girl, if it doesn't work out, be direct, say, hey, it was great, but I think this isn't going to work out, whatever the case is. And then on the flip side of that, I know everyone wants to be Jim from The Office and everyone wants these signals and everyone wants this long drawn out friendship that turns into a relationship or something like that. Dude, if you've asked her out before and she said no, she's probably not interested. Okay. Like, let me be your big bro right now and tell you that. Please don't put yourself through more and more rejection. I know you heard the one story about the girl who finally came around and went out with the guy at the last second after the third time he asked, but you're just starting to be like a stalker, okay? So, like, take the hint. If they say no, they're probably not interested, and move on. Yep. There's plenty of people for you. And I know we're going to get into that later about how there's not one person for everyone.
Yeah.
But it's not romantic to become obsessive with somebody. You got to take the hint.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that there is a genre of men out there that holds on to every single word.
Yeah, you don't be the guy who gets
says to them, just let it go, man. If she's not interested, she's not interested. Do you really want to be the guy who had to wait 5 years to finally get a shot? Probably not.
Yeah.
So let us help you out there. But yeah, nonchalantism has definitely taken over. People don't want to try. And it's really hurting how men approach women, how girls approach men. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that hard. Just how do you get good at talking to people? By talking to people.
Yeah.
So put yourself in situations to talk to people.
Yeah.
Being involved at a local church is a really good way to do that.
Yeah.
Kind of force you to interact, force you to talk to people, get out of your comfort zone and just talk to people. And but whatever danger, you do, whatever you do, please don't be creepy.
Yeah.
Just don't. Don't be creepy.
Well, the danger of nonchalantism, and I know we've just kind of coined this new phrase, but the danger of it is that it leads to prolonged periods of confusion. It leads to envy. It leads to comparison. It leads to drama, a lot of drama. And honestly, it just doesn't set a good example within the church walls either. You know, if you're part of a young adult ministry or youth ministry or whatever, and, you know, you're somebody who claims to have a serious faith, yet you can't be serious within your relationships, it just doesn't leave a good example for the people around you that you happen to be leading.
Yeah.
And so I think that you're just going to cause yourself more pain. You're going to cause other people more pain. And you're really aiming to have a spiritual maturity about you before you're going into a relationship rather than just trying to avoid isolation. Most people today, they're dating to avoid being alone rather than dating to try to find their spouse. Mm-hmm. And so if you're dating strictly because you can't bear being alone, then you're not ready to date.
Yeah.
If you're dating, those are like tryouts for marriage. That's that you're trying to see, am I compatible with you? Can I do the rest of my life with this person?
That's good.
This isn't, I'm trying to get practice. I'm trying to get reps. I can't go to college without ever being with somebody before. No, none of that matters. The only reason you should date somebody is if there's an actual legitimate shot that they could end up being your spouse.
Yeah.
And if that's not the case, then you need to find community through a relationship with Christ. You need to find community through friendships with other people, through the church.
Yeah.
You do not find, you don't try to avoid isolation through the means of a relationship. That should be something you're actively pursuing so that you can enter into a covenant of marriage with somebody, not just to avoid the isolation.
For sure. I also see people dragging relationships on and on and on. And what's happening is people are becoming scared to commit because they're scared to get hurt. But the more you drag it on, the more doubt you're introducing into the relationship.
Yeah.
I've dated this person for 7 years. Okay, well now one of you is starting to think, why have we been dating for 7 years?
Yeah.
Why has the ball not moved past this? And you're introducing doubt.
Mm-hmm.
You're introducing questions and you're creating internal conflict with the other person.
Yeah.
Waiting so long is only going to make it more difficult for the person to trust you.
Yeah.
And it really opens up a whole can of worms. And this is why I believe today when people break up after you've been with someone, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. I know some people have been together 7 years and they're still not married yet.
Yeah.
When those couples break up, it's devastating. It feels like a divorce.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we have people going through miniature divorces today because you've dated someone for almost as long as you could have been married for.
Yeah.
And this is why people's hearts get broken. They're jacked up emotionally.
Yeah.
Because you pretty much just put yourself through in a little miniature divorce. I mean, it's dangerous. You're someone that long, you start thinking about having kids with them. You're with someone that long, you think about moving in with them. Mm-hmm. Like, you have played the whole game of marriage without actually being married.
Yes.
And it leads to so much damage.
And
this
most,
is why God has a design for one man to be with one wife.
Yeah.
And what I love about the Genesis story is Adam did not have any other options before that to create preferences. The danger about being with so many people before your spouse is you are creating preferences in an area where you were not meant to have preferences.
Mm.
You were only supposed to explore and have preferences in that area with your spouse, with your wife. But we're going through miniature divorces, acquiring tastes for things that we were never meant to acquire. You're supposed to have an acquired taste for your wife only, for ladies, for your husband only. And this is why the blueprint God gives us matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to keep moving though.
Yeah.
We're talking about
I want to add something, 10 seconds, I promise.
Okay.
Most of the time, whenever somebody has been dating that long, it's because we're actually already into the phase of playing house already. And so I want to encourage you, if you're already living with one another, if you already have children with one another, it's like, just tie the knot, man. God will honor your relationship moving forward. He'll honor the commitment and the covenant that you guys have. Now, obviously, if it's toxic, if there's abuse, if there's anything like that, then you should be forced into a decision. And I'm actually pro ultimatum here. Either split up or get married. Because if you've gotten the order wrong, it's okay. God can redeem it, but you've got to commit to a decision. You can't stay in this limbo gray area forever where you're like, hey, I'm going to keep dating. It's almost like we're married anyway. So no, that doesn't matter. In the eyes of God, almost is not is. You either are or you are not. And so I want to encourage you, if you're playing house right now, and I know that seems a little convicting, and I'm okay with that because it's what the Word of God says, I promise you, you'll find so much more spiritual fruit and energy and life in making that decision.
Yeah. That's good. I think another issue that we have before we move on kind of to the next topic is we have just seen a huge shift in general and people just over-sexualizing everything.
Yes.
Everything we watch has been over-sexualized. Music has been over-sexualized. The way you present yourself, social media itself has been over-sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
Geez, I mean, half of the stuff on social media is stuff that you couldn't get away with showing in like magazines in the 70s, 80s, 90s. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we have been told that over-sexualization is just marketing. Oh, I'm just marketing myself.
Yeah.
And it's not just a female thing. We see males do it too. And it's turned into a way to present yourself, to market yourself. I'm labeling myself as I'm in the market. I'm available.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And really all we're doing is we're completely removing modesty and protection of ourselves from our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to people who want you for that very thing.
Yeah.
They want you for the over-sexualization. Yeah. They don't want you for you. They don't want you for anything other than what it is that you're presenting.
Yeah.
You do unfortunately attract based off of the bait that you're using when you fish.
Yes.
And so you're going to attract a type of person depending on the bait that you're using.
And I think it's important to know that normal is not spiritual. Those are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
It may be normal to post certain things. It may be normal to listen to certain things. It may be normal to wear certain things, but that doesn't not mean that's what God has for you. That does not mean that's what God intends for you. I think we've had a lot of leniency within the church nowadays or within Christian culture nowadays to start allowing the world to really bleed into our Christian values. Mm. And there's certain things that we just need to draw some lines on and be like, hey, I know this is not what Jesus would approve of. And we need to start getting back to these values because, and that's for men and women, right? It's like, yes, you know, it's okay to listen to a non-worship song, but like, what are the lyrics within that? Or what is, you know, maybe you just love a TV show for the plot, but there is a 2-minute sex scene, or there is a certain series of, you know, curse words, whatever the case is, or maybe the top is really cute, but it just happens to be super low cut. Like, there are sacrifices that you're needing to make, even if you don't like it for the secular reason, the secular aspect still comes with it. And so when you say yes to Jesus, you are saying yes and sacrificing to obey him. And so there are some aspects of our life that we're choosing and we get to enjoy the fruits of our faith for, but we still have to sacrifice in those areas. And so I think the hypersexualization is one of them. And, you know, for women, you just have to choose to dress more modestly. For men, you got to choose to have more boundaries.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to choose to have a plan for guarding against lust in your life, right?
Yeah.
I think Pastor Craig Rochelle spoke with me and my dad about that previously. You know, he's talking about young men should have a plan to fight lust in their lives, you know, and that's a question that he asks. One of his previous son-in-laws came to ask his daughter for her hand in marriage. And he literally asked, what's your plan to fight against lust? And like, I think that's a great question, because if you're not prepared for that, it can creep into your life. It can consume your life so easily. Mm-hmm. And hypersexualization can creep into the dating world, the dating Christian life so easily if we're not mm-hmm. guarded against it. And the enemy's goal is not to like maybe make you directly fall into losing your virginity or something like that, but it is to shift the goalpost every year just by an inch mm-hmm. into where now we have commercials where it's literally a jean commercial and they're just like twerking or something, you know, in the middle of the halftime mm-hmm. of the Super Bowl. You're like, what is going on here? You know, or whatever the case is. So I think hypersexualization is a huge yeah. issue in the dating scene today. And you have to have firm boundaries to guard against impurity, to guard against temptation, to guard against lust. And if yeah. you don't have those boundaries outlined and firm, and mm-hmm. yeah, they may cost you a little bit of whatever. Like, I don't have social media. It just,
yeah.
for me, it just didn't do enough good for the cost of it. And same thing with, you know, restrictions on what you watch or what you listen to, all these things.
Yeah.
They may seem extreme, but Christianity is a lot more extreme than we think it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to ask this question for kind of like our singles out there, because we have a ton of people who are single. I believe majority of people are single, probably dating age range, because we just have less people getting married. People are waiting longer to get married. And then of most marriages, unfortunately, a high percentage of them do end in divorce. And then mm-hmm. you have young people who just aren't married yet.
Yeah.
So for the single person, I want to jump into this call. What yeah. does a single season look like, or what should a biblical season look like for a single person?
I think I have a short answer on that, and I'd love for you to expand on it, because I know that with your expertise in serving the young adults, you probably get this question all the time. But I would say a brief description for what a single season should look like is a single season is not about a duration of time. A single season is about your spiritual maturity. That's what it's about. If you're entering into a single season or you're mm-hmm. in a single season, that duration of time is supposed to be yeah. spent maturing in your faith and becoming the person that God wants you to be in order for you to be ready for the person mm-hmm. that he wants to bring into your life.
Yeah.
So that could be, you know, 3 months. It could be 3 years. It could be however long it is. It's not about the duration of time. I do think you need to have discernment in knowing your own heart posture mm-hmm. and if you feel like ready and healthy to enter into a relationship like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more about, are you spiritually there?
Yeah.
Are you ready to be in a relationship with somebody else?
Yeah.
And if that's not the case, then take the time that you need to mm-hmm. enjoy that single season, because it should be enjoyable, but enjoy it the way that Christ intends for you to, not the way that the world intends for you to.
Yeah. I think unfortunately in many religious spaces and religious circles, we hear a lot of emphasis on abstinence during a single season. But your single season is so much more, it's about so much more than just what you abstain from. It's yeah. about what you choose to do.
Yes.
And we live in this space, in this religious space, where a single season has been turned into abstinence season. No. Your single seasons is, yeah. it's not about abstinence, it's about wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about abstinence, it's about wholeness. That's what your single season is about. In other words, it's not about what I'm not doing. It's about what you are doing. Am yeah. I living in a way that is making myself more compatible with the blueprint that the Bible has laid out for me in terms of marriage? Am I choosing to live in a way in my single season that is making me more like Christ or less like Christ?
Yeah.
You know what I think is funny?
Mm.
Whenever a single person is like, oh, I'm single now. I can do whatever I want. Whoa. Wait a minute. So you're telling me what shapes your morality is whether or not you have yeah. a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
Great. So Jesus doesn't shape your morality. Your boyfriend or girlfriend does.
That's great.
Single seasons are not an excuse to crash out.
Yeah.
Single seasons are actually in place for you to become more like Christ, to focus mm-hmm. on wholeness.
Absolutely.
I really believe this, Cole. I think single seasons are in place for protection. And I also think God uses single seasons for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I mean by that? I think sometimes after certain relationships, we're more broken than we realize. If you've dated around a bit, And God has a way of using a single season to protect you from getting in another mistake relationship.
Yeah.
You might be so hurt right now. You might be going for someone you otherwise wouldn't. You might be so hurt and so broken right now. You don't have the capacity to set the boundaries needed in a relationship.
Yeah.
You don't have the capacity to pick someone that lines up with a biblical worldview or lines up with the outline that God gives us in his scriptures. So maybe, just maybe, you're complaining about a season that God's actually using to protect you.
Yeah.
Single seasons are for protection. And also, single season can be for healing. Maybe you haven't healed from a previous relationship.
Yeah.
Do not rush your single season. Let me tell you something. I believe that if you are not able to be a good steward of a single season, you're going to be a horrible steward of a dating season, of
let
a relationship.
Marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Or of a marriage. Oh my goodness. If being single for a season scares you, then being committed to someone for life should terrify you.
That's great.
If being alone for a little bit scares you, being committed to someone for the rest of your life should terrify you.
Yes.
Single seasons are meant to build you up. They are meant to protect you. There's healing that takes place, and you learn about wholeness in single seasons.
Absolutely.